Good evening. I'm Dr. Don R. Zampona, the pastor at Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia, and we want to welcome you tonight to our program, Digging Deeper, here on the Living Faith Television Network. I want to welcome you and thank you for being with us each and every Saturday night. And friends, if we want to know the glory of God, if we want to experience the beauty of God, and if we want to be used by the hand of God, just think about that for a moment. How many of us want to know the glory of God, to experience the beauty of God, and to be used by the hand of God? Then we've got to live in the Word of God. That's how all of those things happen. You got to live in the Word of God because the human heart is dark. And without Jesus Christ, the heart will remain dark, but oh, what a difference the light of Jesus Christ can make. Now, I'd like you to ask you a question tonight. Can you imagine a world without light? Can you imagine a world without light? I mean a world that has no light at all. A world so black you cannot see your hand in front of your face. How many of you realize that was the world before 1882? It wasn't until Edward Johnson, Thomas Edison's associate, invented electric Christmas tree lights that American homes really began to sparkle. American homes were lit mainly by candlelight before 1882. That means there wasn't much light or much sparkle coming from them. But as Johnson's family decorated their home for the holidays, people began to line up to see the lights. This tells me something about people. And I know you're wondering what it is, so let me tell you what this tells me about people. It tells me that people are a little bit like moths because we're drawn to the light. We want to see what's in the light. It doesn't mean we're going to stay in the light, but we want to see what's there before we make a decision. Folks started coming, and some even went so far as to walk up and knock on Johnson's door wanting to see the lights more closely. They were mesmerized by his lights because he had figured out a way to make them flash on and off. Newspapers sent reporters from all over the country to get a report on Johnson's lights. Well, electric Christmas trees didn't catch as you might think back then, because few people other than Johnson and Edison had electricity in their homes. Now, friend, how do you respond when the electric goes off in your home? Would you agree with me? That's kind of tough when everything is dark, when the lights go out. It makes it hard to see at night in a dark house or on a dark street. Once I was walking around my house and the electric went off, and not being able to see, I ran my big toe right into the corner of the dresser. Ooh, did that hurt? And there I was, hopping around, trying to grab my toe to comfort my toe, bouncing off everything because it was dark, and it wasn't until I fell over the corner of the bed. I came to the conclusion that not much good can happen in the dark. Have you ever been really in a dark place? Have you ever been in a place that's so dark you cannot see your hand in front of your face? What emotion comes over you when you're in a dark place? So dark you can hear but you can't see. For many, it's fear. You realize that many people fear what they cannot see? And so can you just imagine for a moment how awful hell is going to be? The Bible tells us that hell is going to be a very dark place, even though hell's fire, which one would think would bring some light, will never go out. Can you imagine a fire that brings no light? Oh, what a dark and terrible place hell must be. And I pray that none of you will go there. How sad it will be for those who go to church or tune in to our ministry service here on Living Faith Television, and you've listened to sermon after sermon and have refused to allow the message that makes a difference make a difference in your life. That can happen, friends. In fact, it will happen because Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, listen to the darkness of this verse. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Beyond that, are you aware that Jesus said in every church you have wheat and you have tares? The wheat are those who've come to true repentance and true salvation in Jesus Christ. And the tares are those who are in the church, but they just do not allow the message that makes a difference to take root in their lives. They just refuse to give their heart to Jesus. Now you might be wondering tonight, why am I bringing this up? Well, first, because I pray that everyone within earshot of this message has an authentic faith or would come to have an authentic faith in Jesus Christ. And because, second, I want you to know the awful reality of hell. Let me share with you tonight from Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And our Lord says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle or put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Would you bow your heads with me tonight, wherever you are, in a hospital, in a restaurant, in a bar, or in jail, or sitting right there at home? Would you just take a moment to bow your head and ask Jesus Christ to shed his light? Father, tonight we come and we ask that you would shed your light in the hearts and minds of every person listening to this message tonight. Lord, we pray that you would reveal through your bright light the condition of each one's heart in this present moment. And Lord, we pray that every soul would humbly bow, and that every soul would respond to whatever you share, whatever you would say to their heart tonight. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of many who will be listening tonight. And we pray for the Christian who's walked off in the wrong direction. In their life, their candle is not shining as brightly as it once did. And Lord, we pray that they would repent of the things that they've become entangled with, that their light might shine all the more brighter for you. And Lord, when we come to the end of this message, would you take your word tonight and make us a people that are thoroughly furnished unto every good work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From this text tonight, I want to note first of all, nothing expresses the mission of Jesus Christ better than light. If we go back to the Old Testament, we discover that the golden candlestick in the temple was a type of Jesus Christ. That golden candlestick signified the coming Messiah who would be the light of Israel. The prophet Isaiah predicted his coming in this way: the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light hath shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And then John wrote in the New Testament, John 8:12, that Jesus Christ came, declaring that he was the light of the world. In fact, John opened his gospel by saying, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus, friends, is pointing out to us the second thing God wants to share with us, and that's this: light destroys darkness. Now, there are those who claim that there is no such thing as darkness. They just say that darkness is the absence of light. Well, I can tell you from working on the farm for many years, I was up before the sun was most days. I used to get up at 3:30 every morning to get started on chores. It took my dad and my two sons and myself about 2.5 hours to get the horses fed and the stalls cleaned and all of the horses watered. I can remember many a morning driving that tractor and spreader out into the dark fields to empty it. But slowly, little by little, light would come. And as that light would come, I had a visible lesson of what God is saying in his word: light drives the darkness away. Some folks today, their hearts are so dark because their hearts do not have the light of Jesus Christ in them. There was a missionary by the name of E. Staley Jones who said, and I quote, "When I met Jesus Christ, I felt like I had swallowed the sunshine." How sad there are those today who would rather live in darkness than swallow the sunshine of Jesus Christ. We who know Christ, to us, it is absolutely mind-boggling that anyone would want to live in the dark. And yet it should not surprise us that men are this way, because Jesus knew this would be so. It is the reason that he said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation: that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now we know what the Bible says, and so even with that said, would you agree with me? It's still hard to understand how some men can live so darkly, that some men will live in the dark, especially when we know what hell is going to be like. And we know what hell is going to be like because the Bible tells us what hell is going to be like. Well, maybe this will help us understand. A desert nomad awakened in the middle of the night. He sat up, lit a candle, and began eating dates from a bowl beside his bed. He took a bite from one end and saw a worm in it, so he threw it out of the tent. He bit into a second date, found another worm, and threw it away also, reasoning that he wouldn't have any dates left to eat if he continued in this way. He blew out the candle and quickly ate all the dates. Most folks love sin so much that even when the light of God is shed on them, they blow it out to continue to live in darkness. They'd rather swallow their sins and wallow in the darkness than to allow Jesus Christ to have his will and his way in them. They do not want to turn on the light of Christ by repenting of their sin. Can you picture such a person, friend? Can you picture how hopeless their existence is? Can you picture their end, how hopeless it's going to be when they are cast down into the fires of hell, a fire that gives no light, a fire where Jesus said the worm does not die, the fire does not go out. It is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now picture that. And then picture the cross. And the arms of Christ are open wide. And in each hand we see the gift of his amazing grace in those nail-scarred hands. And we can picture his blood dripping from the cross. And it's there, and it's ready to be given to the sinner who will repent. It's there free of charge. It's called amazing grace for a reason. And then on the other side of that, we have a bright red door that represents the devil and his enticements. And people by the millions are turning their backs on the amazing grace that is offered in Jesus Christ by his outstretched arms. And they are choosing to instead to walk through the door of the devil's enticements. And that door is nothing but a facade that drops him into the blackest of holes. Never to recover. Because they love their sins more than they love the light that Jesus Christ can bring. Now, let me say to you, God has never sent a soul to hell. God does not send men to hell. Men send themselves to hell. And the reason that men send themselves hell is because the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was never prepared for men, but men will go to hell and men will wind up in hell. And the reason that men will wind up in hell is because they reject the amazing grace that is offered through Jesus Christ. And so they walk themselves there. They walk over the cross of Jesus Christ. They tread under their sinful feet the very death and the precious blood of Christ that could save them from their sins. And you see, the reason men choose that is because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, that men cannot even know their own heart. Jesus said it's going to be so because light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Well, there's a third point that I want to share with you tonight. Nothing defines Christianity better than light. Consider what Paul told the church at Ephesus. He said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul instructs the Christians at the church of Philippi, saying that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Can I ask you a question tonight? Do you picture yourself like that? As a light that is shining in the dark world? As you stroll up and down, as you strut up and down the aisle at your church, at your school, or out there in the marketplace, wherever you are you conveying that you're the light and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ through your smile, your attitude, and your concern for others? Because all of that, friend, should be reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. And that light ought to shine when we're at home or out working in the yard or here in our church and in every church. We need to remember that we are a mirror designed to reflect the light and the love of Jesus Christ, so that it shines, so that our light shines into the lives of others. And you might be wondering tonight, well, why did I mention the church? You might be thinking, doesn't the light shine at church? It ought to. It certainly ought to. But as someone once said, church would be a wonderful place if it wasn't for the Christians. You see, there are some Christians who are still, they bear the name of Christ, but they're not allowing the light of Christ to shine in their own hearts. Therefore, they're unable to shine the light of Christ into others. You see, you cannot shine what you do not possess. But what does a statement like that? Church would be a good place if it wasn't for the Christians. What does a statement like that say about the light of the church in this dark world? Friend, are you prepared to say a word for God? If given the opportunity, would you speak up for Jesus? You know, Peter wrote about this. And Peter said, "We should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Here's what I know. Jesus said, when we do something for the least of these, we do it unto him. I find it interesting that in that passage of Scripture, Jesus was talking about the things those people on his right hand do. People on the Lord's right hand are blessed because they are giving their lives away, serving Jesus Christ by doing things for others. They're allowing the light of Christ to shine in them because they have a faith that works. But right after Jesus tells us what the people on his right hand do, he then speaks about what the people on his left hand do. And he states, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, do you find that interesting? Could it be that those who are on his left hand are too busy to serve, too busy to let their light shine because they were never among those on the Lord's right hand to begin with? Now, you can wrestle with that. But friend, for me, I know I'd rather wear out serving the Lord than rust out doing nothing for Him. Our text tonight comes from the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. Some say it was the greatest sermon ever preached, and I'd have to agree. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Friend, this I know. We as God's people better have Jesus Christ signs of life in our hearts. And here's life sign number three. I am a source of light in a dark world. That's what we learn from Jesus' words of Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, let's make application as we close tonight. When people see you, do they see the light of Jesus Christ shining through you? Let me give you four ways we can reflect the light of Christ in others every day. Be finding out how we can pray for them, by being available to them, by being willing to help them if needed, by putting others before ourselves. Friends, let me close with this. That's biblical, because God said and Paul wrote, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now I pray in the days ahead that people will see the life signs in us. Life sign number one, remember, my words and action give evidence of Christ indwelling. Life sign number two, my faith is expressed through works. In life sign number three, we are the source of light in a dark world. You see, if you as God's child are going to reach people for Jesus Christ, these signs of life had better be in us if we're going to be the lights that we are called to be. And as we close tonight, you just bow your head. And if God was to say to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" how would you answer that? How would you answer that? Would you say, "I'm saved and going home"? Or would you say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Come into my heart right now and save me of my sins. And I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer, you write to us that we can put a Bible into your hand.